The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. I'm live on location down in Orlando, inside of NBA Players Association Top 100 Camp. Ira is live inside the MDN studios. We can come together and do the show, and we can get another day closer in our countdown to the start of the Michigan football season.
Amen, Sam. We are that much closer. As I mentioned in the last segment, it feels even that much closer because the season tickets showed up in the mail. I've seen people posting that they've gotten their tickets. Ours showed up yesterday. Very exciting. And we are now 37 days away until the start of the Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store. You can find Tudor, Rolex, Breitling, Tag Heuer, and so many more great brands that you can put on your wrist. Home of some serious sweet timepieces. Lewis Jewelers, your watch store, proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. We are 37 Anthony Tony Rio days away into the start of the Michigan football season. Anthony Rio was born July 9th, 1937. He was a fullback for the Wolverines out of Chicago. Went to St. Philip High School, was a varsity Wolverine 57-58 in 1959, about a fullback, about 6 foot, about 185 or so pounds. He earned two letters at Michigan as a fullback for Benny Osterbahn and then Bump Elliott. In 1957, he played in two games, had six carries for 33 yards. And then 1958, he played in his first five games until this of the season until, well, some controversy. 2 weeks after scoring his first Michigan touchdown, Rio was arrested by campus police on charges of engaging in an illegal occupation. Six other students were also arrested, including Rio's roommate, Jack Lewis, who was the captain of Michigan's basketball team, and Carl Reisman, the associate sports editor of the Michigan Daily. Rio was accused of being part of a $10,000 a week football gambling ring involved in selling football spot cards, in which the purchaser bet on a series of football games and won prizes if he did better than the spread on a certain number of games. Michigan's athletic director, Fritz Kreisler, immediately suspended both Rio and Lewis from their respective teams until the criminal charges were resolved. Here's more from the story, which drew national media attention. There was a photo story in Life magazine noting that the informant and editor at the Michigan Daily had been hung in effigy. After initially pleading not guilty, Rio and Lewis pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge in November 1958 and were placed on probation by the university for the remainder of the academic year. The university announced at the time that Rio and Lewis could appear before the university's dean of men and the Joint Judiciary Council to seek to restore their athletic eligibility, but reinstatement was not expected. Newspapers reported that there was only a remote possibility that their eligibility would be restored. However, in August 1959, the university restored Rio's athletic eligibility, allowing him to play football in his senior year for a newly hired coach. And that, of course, was Bump Elliott. After being reinstated in 1959, Tony Rio had a monster year, starting nine games for Bump, who said at the time, quote, "As far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is past," end quote. And Tony Rio, in 1959, was the MVP of the 4-5 Michigan Wolverines. He was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals, but a career-ending knee injury prevented him from playing pro ball. He also had an unsuccessful tryout with the New York Titans of the AFL in 1960, and he passed away in June of 1987 at a very young age of 49. We are 37 Anthony Tony Rio days away until the start of the Michigan football season. We are also 37 Jim Smith days away until the start of the Michigan football season. Jim Smith was born July 20th, 1955. He came to us out of Blue Island, Illinois, where he went to high school at Eisenhower High School. He was on campus. He was all conference and all state in high school, and he beat Quinn Buckner for a state title as a senior. He arrived on campus here in 1973, was a varsity Wolverine 74-75 in 1976, a wide receiver, about 6'3 and about 200 pounds. He was an all-around player, wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner, and more, who gained 2,890 yards from scrimmage in his career for the Maize and Blue. He was first-team All-American and All-Big Ten as a senior in 1976, was a third-round pick, 75th overall in the 1977 NFL Draft. From 1977 to 1982, he was the number three wide receiver on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Numbers one and two were pretty good. Swan and Stallworth were pretty darn good. From 1983 to 85, he played for the Birmingham Stallions in the USFL. In 1985, he had 87 catches for 1,322 yards and 20 touchdowns, and he was named All-League in the USFL. And then in 1985, Jim Smith played with the LA Raiders. We are 37 Jim Smith days away until the start of the Michigan football season. And then, Sam, one other number 37, former number 37. We don't need to get too much into him because we just talked to him the other day. In fact, he was part of a line of number 37s at the linebacker position. we, of course, are talking about number 37, Jared Irons. Great to chat with him on Monday, and we heard from him on the air the other day.
Yeah, just obviously a stalwart of a linebacker, captain, just the epitome of linebacking at the University of Michigan. A thumper, if you will, and a highly regarded prospect out of the state of Texas. But, you know, you might, I guess the part that I didn't know about Jared until we sat down and talked to him the other day was to say, you know, the NFL was never, it was never sort of the goal for me. I mean, it was, you know, maybe it would have been a stop, but he said, I aspired to be off in the business world, and football was a vehicle for me to get there, not a vehicle to the NFL, which I thought was really, really interesting to hear. But again, a guy who, even now, when you hear him tell you, understand why this dude's, why he was a captain, right? It just comes ringing through and talking to Jared Irons. You know, you understand why they bring him back seemingly every year to talk to the team, because he has his finger on what it means to play at Michigan. His finger on all the important aspects of the rivalries, and he can speak from experience when it comes to talking to the players. But I mean, you go back and you look at Jared Irons, the player, and remember who he succeeded. I mean, this is coming after Eric Anderson and Steve Morrison, right? I mean, these were, you know, tackling machines. And here Jared Irons came and took it to another level. Will always be one of the greats, but is an even better dude, Ira, that takes it to another level, Mr. Jared Irons.
We are 37 Jared Irons, 37 Jim Smith, 37 Anthony Tony Rio days away until the start of the Michigan football season. The countdown of the Michigan football season is brought to you by our friends at Lewis Jewelers, your watch store. Find them on Stadium Boulevard in Ann Arbor, online at lewisjewelers.com. Proud partner of Michigan Athletics and Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. We should mention that there was a 37 on the spring roster, but he's in the portal. He's transferring out Edward Warner, so there are no 37s currently on the roster. But as the roster gets updated, you know, later on in the summer, as we get the beginning of fall camp, we will go back through the roster. Anybody that we either missed, obviously some freshmen in there, maybe a transfer that we missed if their number is in that range that we've missed. And also, of course, number changes, because those always happen as well. So if any of those happen, we will go back and we will not miss anybody in the entire countdown. We will talk about every single active player on the roster as we inch closer now, 37 days away until the start of the Michigan football season.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing where some of those freshmen, check in and camp, some of the young linebackers that we're going to be talking. I had a great conversation with George Hilo. We'll hear from George.
All right, Sam, I know we're going to get to basketball, and we're going to talk about the draft because it's a big night for the Pistons and some Michigan guys as well. But since we are on the topic of football, I'm going to throw one at you totally out of the blue. We got this as part of an email. It was a long email from Andrew. You know, he's a big Michigan fan, and he wants to be excited about the season, but he's kind of looking at recent, you know, past and seeing that, you know, maybe not so much. So he wants us to, he says, from a Michigan perspective, you know, so, you know, because nationally people, Alabama or Clemson or whatever, it's kind of a lot of repetition. But from a Michigan perspective, I'm trying to look for any positive sign in regards to 2021. I need something more than wishful thinking. Can you help a fellow diehard Wolverine fan out? Can you, Sam, give Andrew something to grasp onto if he's trying to find that rope to hold on to for excitement of the season? If you can't find that excitement, just the fact that football is around the corner, we haven't had fans in the stadium since 2019, and you need a football thing to get excited for, can you, off the top of your head, give him the first thing that would come to your mind? What football related to Michigan football right now that has you excited should have him excited for this season?
Well, offensively, they will be better. I mean, you could probably say that's not setting the bar very high, right? But beyond better, I think offensively, you will see Michigan show some explosiveness that wasn't, was it ever evident last year? Did we ever see them look explosive beyond the first game? So they looked explosive in the first game. So I think you'll see more instances this year where Michigan looked like they looked in game one for, for a few different reasons. I know a lot of people will start at the quarterback position. I will start up front. Up front. What's the guy's name? Ira, what's the emailer's name?
Andrew.
Andrew, up front, Michigan will be better. They'll be better because of health. So Andrew Stuber was coming off an injury last year, remember? Ryan Hayes was injured early last season, remember? And he had to, I think it was a turf toe that bothered him the entire season. And so both of those guys are back and they're 100%. They each have some more experience under their belts in the fray and not just in practice or in spot duty. You also add to the mix the wild card up front. That is Zach Zinner. Wild card up front because I'm not quite ready to pencil him in or to write him in ink at guard. He could very well, and we talked to Sharon Moore about this. You'll hear this coming up in the coming days. He could very well be the center. And if he's the center, then what that does to the rest of your offensive line in terms of athletic upside is you could wind up with a Carson Barnhart in the starting lineup or a Trente Jones, for instance. Those are just a couple of for instances. But Zach Zinner now has played, has some experience under his belt, as has Trevor Keegan. Remember, these are new guys in the fold last year. You know, really green, really wet behind the ears. You saw evidence of their youth. In some games, you saw flashes, though, of the ability that had Trevor Keegan so highly rated and had them raving about Zach Zinner back in, back when he first arrived on campus. So up front, Michigan will be better. And if you want to be excited, like if you want to be excited about potential, to me, the most exciting thing would be if Zach Zinner plays center. That doesn't mean that they won't be good if he plays guard and you got Vistardis at center. I'm just looking at what the possibilities are if he plays center. So you start there. They're better up front. Cade McNamara, again, you talk about the value of experience, even negative experiences. It's still you get it out your system, right? And so he was able to get out there, and even in the face of adversity, you saw him succeed in places where Joe was faltering. And again, in fairness to Joe, you had injury compounded by protection issues, and yet when Cade McNamara got in there, at the point when he started getting in regularly. It was around a Nebraska game. He comes in, he moves the team right down the football field. So he has a little bit of field experience, another year of experience in the offense, comfort with the team. You can just hear the guys talking about how he just seems to know what to do. He seems to know what to do. Now, is JJ the superior physical talent? Absolutely. But his comfort with the team and the scheme, the experience under his belt, his moxie, I would just be shocked if either quarterback is able to unseat him, either meaning Alan Bowman or JJ heading into the season. I like the quarterback dynamic with that leadership at the helm heading into the year. And when you give him some more weapons. So at the receiver spot, you remember last year, we keep contrasting with last year and giving you reasons why they're going to be better. Remember last year, they thought they were going to have Nico Collins. Season gets moved. Nico's out. When the season gets reannounced, there's some talk first with Jalen Mayfield, who ultimately comes back. And then with the other guys with, hey, might you come back? It fizzled really quickly with Ambry. It sort of lingered a bit longer with Nico Collins. But when he suddenly isn't there, I mean, that is your experienced downfield threat. That is the guy who is going to be the security blanket for your young quarterbacks. And suddenly he's not there. Suddenly, a guy like Cornelius Johnson is thrust to the fore. I mean, Ronnie goes without saying. Ronnie was always going to be counted on, but Cornelius Johnson, you need more from him. You need these young freshmen and A.J. Henning and Roman Wilson to come in and you know, be threats. And that was obviously, it was an up and down experience gathering year for those guys. Well, they have it now. So does Cornelius Johnson. And then you bring in a Daylon Baldwin who brings you 6'2 plus and sub 4'5 40 with some experience playing with Deion Donaire. Jackson was the SWAC player of the year, newcomer of the year. You put all those pieces together, you got more explosiveness and more experience on the flanks. You know, is it going to be, are they going to be a juggernaut? Not suggesting that at all. But this is going to be a team that I think is going to put up more big plays than they even threatened to last year. So if you're looking for something to seize upon, I would seize upon that. Understanding that, you know, the reason for your nervousness is well placed. I mean, it remains to be seen. I guess I shouldn't do this if I'm trying to give you optimism, right? But it remains to be seen. Well, and before I go to that, the running back position is definitely more explosive this year when you throw in a bigger, faster, stronger Blake Corum, and you add Donovan Edwards to the mix to go along with Hassan Haskins. They are a faster, more explosive backfield. So hope that gave you some optimism to balance the real mystery about this team. The defense is an enigma. You know, I think for everyone, I think even internally, you don't quite know what they're going to be able to do yet. I mean, the spring was about laying the foundation, about base concepts. And then you get into fall camp, and now you start really getting into implementation. And how much can these guys really execute? How much new stuff can they really execute? I don't know. And where do guys really, really fit, especially the guys that are being thrust into bigger roles like Mozzie Smith? You know, he was great in spring ball. Will he be great in fall camp? And will that translate to, you know, really strong play on the football field? That's just one of many questions defensively. So there's reason for some optimism, you know, reason to believe that they're going to be better. How much better, you know, by what magnitude, not ready to say just yet there. So hopefully I gave you a little bit of what you were looking for while having some realism injected in there too. We got to get to a break. Be back on the other side. We get back to that NBA draft talk.
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Worked. Cade Cunningham is gonna be a Detroit Piston, folks. This is all this
sorry, awesome. Houston.
Give me a break. Give me a break. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.